All right, welcome back in as we are an hour away from the pregame show getting kicked off. Seth and Sean will take over here as the Texans will play. Right, this is the most important of all the preseason games. Now that we have an understanding that we are going to see some C.J. Stroud, we are going to see at least the latest reports from Aaron Wilson. We are going to see some of the starters on offense. This is the game where the closest thing to a dress rehearsal, offensively at least, that we're going to see. So we're an hour away from pregame starting, and then you'll be able to hear the game right here live on 95.7 The Fan as Mark Vandermeer and Andre Ware, Johnny Harris, will take things over tonight. And then afterwards, you can hear Sean and Clint with the postgame show as they will hold things down. 713-572-4610. We're seeing some people text in. I see you, Gus, about old Noah Whittington. Who are we going to be talking about? 713-572-4610. YouTube, Twitch as well. Who are we going to be talking about tomorrow? Who are you going to be talking about tonight? I would say last week it was Marlon Klein. Was a big person to come away from the last game. Hale D'Amico spoke about him at the halftime. Jared Wayne was another one that stuck out. Kamari Ramsey stuck out as another one. Rutledge, I think, was talked about. Who is it do you think we're going to be talking about coming up tonight with you on the postgame show and us tomorrow on the drive?
Well, on the heels of the Jaden Higgins injury, it's got to be a pass catcher. I mean, it's obviously going to be the offensive side of the ball, and it's got to be a pass catcher. I'm going to go with Jarrett Wayne. I think this is a game where he gets extended play. He starts and gets some run with the ones and gets extended play probably into the second half. And if he can stack games the same play, you know, play as well as he did the previous game on the heels of the Higgins injury, then Jarrett Wayne's going to have some real momentum to be the guy that could maybe not feel that exact role, but definitely move up the depth chart on these wide receivers. You know, we've heard a lot about Bond. We've heard a lot about obviously talked a lot about Noel and Tank and the injured guys. But I think Jarrett Wayne is the one not that we hadn't talked about him enough, but I think he's the one that really, either way it goes, we'll be talking about him pretty consistently in the postgame.
Yeah, Jarrett Wayne is one that sticks out because I think that's where a lot of eyes are going to
Absolutely.
Go, right? Bond, another one that eyes are going to go there. To me, I think now that we know CJ and a lot of the offensive linemen are going to play, I think they jump into spaces here. Blake Fisher is somebody.
Yeah, was that real or was that just some kind of?
I like, there is nothing that I am have more anticipation for than to see the five people that are going to run out there in front of CJ.
Tonight? Yeah.
I got no clue what it's going to be. And I just, like, can we acknowledge if whoever the five that go out tonight with the one unit, the one time we're going to have a dress rehearsal in front of CJ, like whoever those five are, those guys got a chance, a real serious chance to start against the Buffalo Bills. Like, would we agree to that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Like, I just, because when they did the joint practice, the first offensive line unit was right tackle Blake Fisher, right guard Evan Engram, center Evan Brown, left guard was Keelan Rutledge, and then left tackle was Ursary. If that, I'm just, you don't know what comment. It could be Braden Smith. Braden Smith started last week. Wyatt Teller started last week, although he has not been running with the ones since the game last week, it seems like. I'm just, Trent Brown is in the fold. Does he play again tonight? I am really intrigued. I think that's going to be a big thing. But I think Blake Fisher is probably somebody we're talking about one way or another.
The right tackle position, that's an interesting one because I just find it really hard to believe that Trent Brown is in any kind of competition. I mean, Trent Brown's not going to show you anything in a competition, in a preseason, in a training camp that's going to tell you anything about him that you don't already know.
Yeah, he's we know what he is. Right?
Yeah, you know what he is. I mean,
Isaiah Hutchinson.
I feel like Trent Brown is your starting right tackle.
You think he is?
I think Trent Brown's your starting right tackle, and they're trying to figure out what they're going to do with that swing tackle, with that third tackle. Do they have the opportunity to move Braden Smith? Can Blake Fisher be equal to or pass a Braden Smith with Braden struggling a bit? I think that's the. It doesn't surprise me. I think we may have even talked about this early in the year before training camp. The possibility of Keelan Rutledge being one of the better guards and Blake Andrews or Evan Brown being the center. And you got a lot of options at center, so you've got some flexibility with your first-round draft pick, right? So that piece doesn't surprise me as much, the movement inside, because you had so many guys that play guard and center, including your first-round draft pick. That piece doesn't surprise me as much. I didn't think Blake Fisher would factor into the right tackle position at all. I thought Trent Brown would be this is your surefire backup emergency plan. And if he has to play, you got a pretty good right tackle. And it doesn't look like that's the case at all.
Yeah.
So I think Trent's got to be your number one. And then the other guys are battling for who makes the team, who is trade bait, who can stick around. That's got to be the thought.
If Trent doesn't play tonight, is that. That probably enhances your thoughts that he will be the number one guy.
Injury prone, knows the offense. The organization knows him really well. I mean, when he gets in there, it's like his faults are his faults. There's no drill he can run in camp and all of a sudden be the fleetest of foot tackle out there. You're going to have to help him with a chip. You're going to have to help him with a tight end. You're going to have to help him with alignment. That's not going to change in training camp. So I don't know how you can have him competing in the first week and then just say to hell with him. This is going to be Braden Smith and now Blake Fisher. Like it's got to be.
Well, Braden would make sense because of, you know, what they paid him and they paid him that type of
money.
Yeah,
but Braden giving up reps to Blake Fisher doesn't make. That's the piece that doesn't.
Well, yeah, Blake Fisher having both of them healthy right. And getting the most right. reps with the ones yeah. did not make sense
yeah.
unless he is just taking a jump. Of all jumps.
Well, hopefully tonight we've got a lot to talk about because you obviously, to your point, there's multiple offensive line situations that guys that we thought to be depth that are actually going to be getting run. There's multiple tight ends that were thought to maybe be projects or be depth that are going to get run. There's multiple pass catchers, wide receivers that were thought to be competing for maybe the fifth wide receiver spot. Now, all of a sudden, they're competing for the second and third wide receiver spot, potentially. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on tonight at Reliant, for sure.
Man, that right. The right tackle thing is insane to me. Because I got it. If that boy, if 50, is it 57? Is that
Fisher,
that
57. Fisher,
if 57 walks out there in that right tackle spot with the rest of them jokers, and especially if he walks out there in 77 and 71 have on pads like they did on Tuesday. Like, I mean, I never, and I know, Figgy, you've watched this and you're doing this and you've seen this. Y'all have talked about it on In the Loop. And, Clint, we have talked about I had never, ever even contemplated the thought that the answer at right tackle, where they would have arrived with everything they did coming into this season, would be Blake Fisher.
Mm-hmm.
I would have, again. I'm being honest. Like, I'm not saying.
And that's if he walk out there tonight.
That's it. Like, if he walk out there tonight, we got to take it serious.
Oh, no doubt.
Like, if he walks out there, if they walk out there, and it is Ursary, Rutledge, whoever the hell it is at center. And Ed Ingram next to him, and 57 walks out there, especially if Trent Brown and Braden Smith are wearing pads too, and then they play later. Like, we got to take that serious. And again, I don't know that it's good or bad. He was a second round pick, apparently, in the offseason. He really tried to do some things with his body, and he has really changed. But I just know nobody. Maybe there's some people who are going to text it and said that nobody had the thinking of, yep, Blake Fisher, that's going to be the answer over there, right tackle. I mean, we did conversations Hell, first off, I'm not going to lie to you. We ain't just do no just full-out set topics just on Blake Fisher. But just in passing of conversations, Clint.
He found his way in.
We thought he was, Clint, I believe, called him Dead Man Walking. I think we were pretty certain that this, we were trying to look at the numbers of how he makes the team. I'll tell you, but if that Joker walks out there tonight, man. God. Is Max playing? Is Crosby playing? If he walks out, I could believe it Tuesday. I said, "What is going on here?" Like I was probably a little loud in a little press area. What is going on here?
Are they like trying to make his stock go up a little bit or something like that? Trying to get him as much reps before they try to maybe trade him?
That's the only thing I can think of. I will lay on the train tracks for that thought process. They're not good enough to do that.
That's the truth.
They're not good enough or set enough to say, "Hey, man, we're gonna throw." And they don't have enough. They shouldn't have enough confidence that we're gonna line him up against Max Crosby repeatedly and let him turn the corner on C.J. Stroud.
You would think that Nick Caserio would be hell bent on making Trent Brown or Braden Smith, one of those two guys, he paid work. They experiments, man. I mean, we're staring down, boys. We're staring down another one of these. Hey, man, we're still trying to find our best five.
That's what they said, and
we're in week four of the season. I mean, that's the crazy part is we're further away from finding our best five right now than we were a week ago. So, you know, hey, hopefully you got to trust the process, I guess, and see what comes of it, but. There's going to be a lot to talk about tonight, man, because there's no telling what offensive line is going to run out there. And look, let's be honest. Whichever one runs out there, if C.J. Stroud is going to play 20, 25 plays, you're looking at either two long drives or you're looking at maybe even four possessions. I would imagine you're going to see more than five offensive linemen in front of C.J. Stroud. I would imagine you might see more than one center. So, well, there's going to be plenty. Oh, yeah.
Oh, hell. Come on, man. Maybe you're right. Maybe Toby on YouTube says Fisher sucks. He needs to be cut. I'll be honest with you. Fisher did not suck against Max Crosby. I mean, it was sitting right in front of me. Like there was some pleasant. Now Max got him a couple of times, but Max is one of the best players in the league. But I would sit there and say, watching that, he held his own. And I'll be honest, there have been times where I've watched Blake Fisher. And he looks like he is sweating bullets.
Yeah.
And nervous, and that's half the issue. Look, I didn't see that against Max in that joint practice.
I know there have been bad camps, if you will, and disappointment with Blake Fisher. But there's never been a – like Blake has never been that guy for me when he goes in the game and I'm like, uh-oh, look out, CJ.
He started playoff games.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, he's a serviceable right tackle. I would just say he's not lived up to the second round draft pick when a team needed a tackle and answered the bell. There's been plenty of opportunities. He's never been that guy. And I didn't think he would factor into a right tackle competition after you paid one guy 12 plus a year for 2 years. And then you paid another guy. What did he pay? $5-7 million
Max for Trent. Yep.
Yeah. So I just didn't think you don't do that if you've got confidence in Blake Fisher. And so, it is an interesting situation at right tackle, and hopefully some of it will come out in the wash tonight.
Yeah, and he's 23, so he's allowed to have some growth.
I mean, this is year four for him?
Three. His first year was, I just remember him as a rookie having to play right tackle against the Chiefs. Mm. He got somehow locked up on a third down and seven with Chris Jones by himself with no help.
There you go.
That resulted in a sack, though scoring at home, and a missed field goal from Fairbairn. But another one real low-key, and I know it's a guy you've seen a lot of, Figgy. Caden McDonald is somebody I'm hoping you guys are talking about. It is. Maybe it's not his fault. He is playing, and I've talked about it, a tough position. Man, you start comparing him to the other first and second-round picks in this draft that he's with, he seems to be far behind. Can we please, if there's a question to D'Amico tonight,
oh, we got to check the tape first.
Yeah, man. We not only do we got to check the tape first. I got to check the tape first. You didn't have to check the tape with Marlon Klein. You didn't have to check the tape with Keelan Rutledge. It's not only do we have to check the tape. It is also, hey, man, he got valuable reps. Well, what the hell? Yeah, I know he did. Like, I just hope he makes a splash play tonight. Like something where you're like, all right, that's why they went and got that big joker. And a splash play can be he took on two blockers and there's a linebacker that came through and you can clearly see his impact, or he made a stuff or something like that. Just let us know you're there. It's sometimes here. I don't even know he's out there at times, and that's a hope that improves. All right, coming up, T Mill. He's still rolling here in the green. T Mill's best bets, and before we get ready to hand things off here at 4 o'clock, we'll look at what we've been talking about, building up to the season, our burning questions, and the biggest storylines in the NFL. That's next. All right, welcome back. As we got about a half hour left here on this Thursday edition of The Drive, we'll be handing things off to the pregame show. It is game day. The Texans will play their final home preseason game, and we should see a lot more guys. We'll give you the latest on where D'Amico is coming up here in just a bit, but handing things off, Seth and Sean pregame show coming up after we get done. And remember, the postgame show, I got Clint, who you've been hearing, Clint Sterner.
That's me.
There he is. That's him, Sean Pendergast. They will have the postgame show after tonight's game, and I think they'll have a lot to talk about. I think we'll see some action from C.J. Stroud, as been reported today. All right, T. Mill is flipped things off this morning. Is he is usually with us. He did have his best bets, and Clint, this is one of his stronger weeks here late. He's been in the green every day. Now, he didn't win them all, but he's been in the green every day, two or three last night. So now he's 6 of 9, and you know he would love those number combinations if you know Tyler Milner, but he's 6 of 9. And I guess we're going to have to find out tomorrow what he does, because he didn't miss today.
Well, that ain't like Tyler to not get them bets in.
Yeah. Maybe he didn't miss it.
Well, I think it's just he did like O'Quay did. He double birded us, man.
He did.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think T. Mill's a 6 a.m. guy.
He may have done him this morning.
I don't think he's a 6 a. 12 p. guy. That's just not his. I'm telling you, it's not his best self.
It's not.
I called him in at 9 o'clock hour. He sounded fresh.
Yeah, he tried to say he is somebody who operates better, not as much sleep.
There was a time when I was definitely doing that. Can't remember who was dropping me off at practice.
You sure you're operating at your best?
No question.
Oh, okay.
I was running my off season sprints with the wide receivers and winning money. I was just stronger than tight ends in the weight room. Oh yeah, I was killing it.
That was your best. That was your best.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you were going out in Houston, I was the one you called. I mean, in Dallas. I'm sorry. See, I forgot what city I was in.
Another sign.
We come off that practice field. Hey, five. You got anything tonight? Yeah, I can. What you want to do? What you want to do, E?
You had your Tuesday night set, right?
Monday nights.
Huh?
Yeah, Tuesday night get you in trouble, because then you got Wednesday practice. You got early Wednesday. Monday nights was the night. Me and JG in the lodge. Monday night football.
Of course it was.
Hey, Dirty, you got anything going tonight? We hitting the lodge? Yeah, cool. What time you picking me up?
Yeah.
That's my best work, Chief.
Listen. Some of these guys on the defense.
Hope my daughters aren't listening.
Some of these guys on the Texans defense, they got a chance to really put together themselves a nice little week. Right? They practiced on Tuesday, off yesterday.
Oh.
Not playing at least yesterday, not playing tonight.
Training camp.
Off tomorrow.
Three-day break,
baby, in the middle of it.
Boy, that's a hell of a deal, boy.
Good for you, Tommy. He's the one in my mind him and Sheldon. Them are the two that I think to myself.
Oh, they deserve every bit. What about Trent?
Trent's at least going to have to.
They treating him like a D tackle right now. he ain't getting hardly no work.
You don't think Trent plays tonight?
No, I don't.
Well, if you missed it, these reports, the Texans quarterback, according to Aaron Wilson, C.J. Stroud is set to play a few series tonight versus the Raiders, along with the first-team offensive line. And they're talking about Woody Marks also Looks like he'll be involved. They're talking about 20 to 25 plays, roughly. I'd imagine, Clint.
How's Aaron Wilson keep getting these details?
Getting these details, man. 20 to 25 plays.
When you hear D'Amico's tone when he answers Aaron Wilson's question, and then A-Dub keeps coming up with them in-depth details. Yeah, man, I mean, he got the number of plays somehow.
Man, he ain't 20 to 25 roughly, man. He got somebody else out there, man. And said, he said defensive players are expected to be rested.
Yeah. I mean, whole squad. He got a report on the whole squad.
Hell yeah, he did.
And watch it be exactly that. Yeah, watch CJ play 22 plays.
Could you see, what did they do last week? 11 plays? 75 yards?
75 you think that could be enough? Touchdown?
You think if they had like a.
No, got to go two.
They go another drive?
Absolutely. This is a rep. This isn't a result thing.
It's a rep.
Process over results. You remember that? That's a Casario thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now this is we got to get mid 20s in just to make sure you get enough of your run checks, to make sure you get some quick game, make sure you get some play action. You can't get it all in if you just go one drive.
For Kaylee too. I bet he's got a script at 15.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Got to get to at least 15.
Got to. I think you got to go. Now, hopefully it's just two long 11, 12 play drives and we punch them in for touchdowns. Hopefully that's what it is and you call it a day. Odds are we're going to get three or four drives.
This was the favorite part of it here. Offensive line evaluation continues.
We got more.
The offensive line evaluation continues as we're back here again. The team searches for its top five guys heading into the opener against the Bills. Mm. At least in this one, we know they got three. Now, I know where Ursary's going to play, and I know Ed is going to start and where he's going to play. And I'm certain Rutledge is going to start, so we're just not quite sure where.
Yeah.
But they're still, as they head into – the second of three preseason games, still evaluating who their top five is.
Take a shot at your starting five tonight. You go and then I go. Name and position. Don't just try to give me best five, Nick.
All right. Left tackle will be Ursary.
Mm-hmm.
Left guard will be Keelan Rutledge. Starting center will be Jake Andrews. Right guard will be Ed Ingram. And right tackle will be Braden Smith.
Only position I'm changing from you is I'm going Evan Brown at center.
You want Evan Brown?
I think Ariante Ursary left tackle. I think Big Rutledge plays left guard. I think Evan Brown plays center. And you go Ed Ingram at right guard. And then I think Big Braden Smith is back at right tackle.
I'm with you on that. Again, if 57 walks out there with that group.
They done fed him to the old Wolves once. Why not? You think Max playing?
I don't know. I don't know. It didn't matter for them. They knew he was playing that day. They put him out there, Clint. First play, no help.
On the island with Max Crosby, man.
One-on-one with Max. They said, come on, man. Here we go.
Mm. I don't advise you do that tonight.
No, I don't either. All right, coming up as we get ready to hand things off, C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud spoke the other day, and it's something I think, and again, I do think Clint and I, we have really
It's football
liked,
horny.
Yeah, it's football horny. But
quarterback
I think
horny.
We've really liked what C.J. has brought to the table mm-hmm. thus far in the offseason. Now, we'll see what happens during games. But if you missed it, you got to hear what he had to say. And to me, it was a major concern if he would have this mindset, but it's good to hear that he has it off of last year's playoff games. We'll let you hear that and discuss next. All right, game day coming up. We'll hand this thing off here in the next several minutes to Seth and Sean as they will have the pregame show. They're out there live at Reliant Stadium, and they will get this thing rolling. We'll do that coming up here in just a bit. If you have been following kind of the offseason here. C.J. Stroud, obviously the biggest story. I mean, I'm looking up at the TV during the entire time we've been kind of doing this show, and every time you look up there, they do a story on C.J. Stroud. It is him throwing those interceptions and fumbling the football against the Steelers every single time. I mean, just look up. None of them passes to Nico. None of that.
That's I keep gone. Seeing the Patriots highlights.
Nah, man, that's it, man. Every time you look up there, boy, I mean, it's just, I mean, he's, and obviously, hopefully he doesn't have to do another game interview today. He's had it. That young lady had to pay for that. But
Shelby.
Oh, man. She asked him about them
How's
shorts.
How's training camp? Good.
She asked him about them shorts. I mean, my man said, I ain't say that.
There ain't nothing
that's
worse.
That's my favorite part, man.
There ain't nothing worse when you got an old interview either like that or a coach at halftime and they give you one word answers.
Oh yeah.
Boy, you're on the spot.
Saddle it up.
You're backpedaling. Mm-hmm. You better have your questions memorized and you better have them in the holster, boy, because if you check up, it is whew.
I could tell she was just like digging for stuff. Man. Oh, she digging. Was just like, How was camp? He was like, it was cool.
She's like, man, I got 3-4 more minutes. He ran through my load already. All right. He was a little bit more detailed in this kind of, and I just think the mindset, Clint, is something that I was concerned about coming in, and you should be concerned after that playoff performance.
Well, we're just so used to hearing the company man ultimately. You know, the reciting the lines of, you know, I got to be better. It's either that or it's the spiritual piece. You know, it's so refreshing to hear C.J. Stroud because this ain't coming from Nick, either one of the Knicks. This ain't coming from D'Amico. All we've heard is, I told you before that early in training camp, we went through this thing. The one thing that can't happen is they just grill into his head every day. You know, completions, don't turn it over, don't make mistakes, don't get behind the chains, don't take sacks. All those things we want to occur, but you can ruin the kid just hammering that home. Hearing this right here from C.J. Stroud tells me that they may have hammered into his head, but damn it, he's got thoughts of his own and feels pretty good right now.
Here's C.J. kind of talking about like the mindset that a quarterback has to have and kind of filling out the process of making plays, taking risk, and being smart with the ball.
Yeah, I think that's part of the game. You're going to have penalties. You're going to, you know, make mistakes. You're going to have turnovers. It's all about, you know, getting back up there and trying again. Because if you play scared in this league, you're scared of making mistakes, you'll just be dead in the water. So you have to take risk. And even when you do make mistakes, you got to just go to the next play.
Yeah, there's a fine line between that, Clint, of – and a lot of guys are affected by it. And you could clearly see a way that C.J. Stroud could be affected by that because of the way their season ended. And we talked about it. That was, from a sports perspective, a traumatic event that was completely tied to him making mistakes and making mistakes with the ball. And that was a real fear because they need the C.J. Stroud that's confident, the C.J. Stroud that puts his arms across his chest when he throws a deep ball. They need that dude with that swag and that confidence. And that was, I think, a major concern. Now, again, the questions ain't all answered. We'll see it once we really get into it. But they need that dude.
Well, look, what I like about it is that's I believe that is the genuine, sincere, authentic CJ right there. I think he went out in a joint practice, had a pretty damn good day. And is feeling himself a little bit, which he should. He's a damn starting quarterback, and he's 1 of 32. Depending on who you talk to, I don't know where his rank is, but he's 1 of 32 with Super Bowl aspirations. He's 1 of about 10. And I don't know. I just buy that. A lot of times I hear CJ either, you know, regurgitating what somebody in the locker room has told him or somebody from his coaching staff has told him, or again, you know, the spiritual thing, or, you know, just kind of saying the right things. And I don't buy any of that. I don't buy any of that right there that we just heard. That one, that's what I want my quarterbacks. I don't give a damn what happened last year. It's a new year. I mean, you are an unbelievably gifted player. Now go out there and earn your money, earn that next contract and don't worry about staying ahead of the chains. Now play smart. Sure. Yes. You got to be the quarterback the Texans want you to be. But damn it, go out there and make plays. Enjoy what you're doing. Look forward to what you're doing. Feel yourself a little bit. I buy that CJ Stroud. I think that was authentic. I think that was real. And it's good to know that's where he's at. Because to your point, Ron, whether it's the ending to last year, or it's what's been hammered into his head, or it's, you know, getting smoked in training camp with this great defense a lot of the times, there's plenty of reason to be down and to that was what I want to hear from my quarterback right there.
Yeah, and hopefully this is the start. This first time we'll see him in game action, close to game. I know it's preseason, but game action since he played in the divisional round against the New England Patriots. So I think that's good to hear. And judging by everything we've seen from him in the offseason, in training camp, in OTAs, in mandatory minicamp, it looks like he has moved past what happened there, and that this mindset that this is a new year and a new time.
Well, I'll reiterate, Ron, real quick. That's what your quarterback sounds like after he goes out and has a really good day, by the way, when he gets reps. Go out and have a good day tonight. You'll get that right there in the postgame presser.
All right. Coming up behind us, we're going to hand this thing off to Seth and Sean. They'll have the pregame show. And remember, after the game, our guys Sean and Clint, they will have the postgame show right here on 95.7 The Fan. Clint, great job. Figgy, shout out to you. Great job. I'm Ron, the show Hughley. And remember, Houston, we love you, baby.